This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. Although this week, on a Tuesday. John, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for calling me early, Greg.
Absolutely right. Well, John, a lot of the biggest news on the international stage. Let's start with North Korea. It appears, and you know the reports out of North Korea are always tough to verify at first, that Kim Jong-il, who most people believe had a stroke, but that hasn't stopped him from reconstituting the nuclear program to a large extent, apparently has chosen his 26-year-old son as his eventual successor whenever that time comes. How significant is this news?
Well, it's very significant. Just as when his father, Kim Il-sung, designated him, Kim Jong-il, the dear leader, as his heir apparent, all the world wants to begin paying attention and know everything they can about the first dynastic order in a communist state. The 26-year-old Kim III is very little known. Not much is known about anything that he has done personally or professionally, only that he is the next in line in the royal family in Pyongyang. Again, one has to also wonder how long this will last. Will it go about? The North Korean military has long been rumored to have been disenchanted with the current leadership in Pyongyang, and there's always talk about a palace coup. For now, I think that a lot of people in the media and intelligence are going to be working some long hours to find out something about the latest hermit in charge of the hermit kingdom.
Well, John, President Bush once famously called North Korea part of the Axis of Evil. Another nation he labeled in that group was Iran several years ago. And I think Iran is expected to be a major focus of the presidential visit of Barack Obama to the Middle East starting this evening. But over the next several days, he'll visit Saudi Arabia. He'll make a major address from Cairo on Thursday. What do you expect? What do you hope to see from this trip?
Well, quite honestly, Barack Obama has captured the world's imagination. I see it every day at the White House press briefings as I meet more and more correspondents from other countries. There must be a record for foreign correspondents coming to the White House. This is a president who clearly intrigues the rest of the world like no president since John Kennedy. That said, his appeal is particularly moving in the Middle East. He is a man of color. His middle name is Hussein, something he reminds audiences when he goes to Turkey or other countries, and surely will when he is in Cairo. As to what he can do with Iran, it's very obvious that Obama would like to see Ahmadinejad defeated in the next election and deal with someone we can do business with. Whether that happens is unsure. The worst-kept secret in Washington is that there are back channels to some of the elements in Tehran that are not enamored with the theocracy that's been in charge for 30 years.
John, let's move a little bit closer to home, but it is a piece of news that does affect the Middle East because of our ongoing military actions there. And the president has once again tapped a Republican for a major post, this time New York Congressman John McHugh, the top Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, to be the Secretary of the Army. Some say this is a great bipartisan outreach. Others say this is a winnable seat for Democrats, so to get rid of the incumbents, a good move on the president's part. How do you read it?
Well, I'd say it's a little bit of both. Barack Obama has put the most Republicans in high-level positions in his government since Franklin D. Roosevelt. I should say the Democratic president who's put the most Republicans in government since FDR during World War II. This comes 2 weeks after Utah's Republican Governor John Huntsman was the president's surprise pick as ambassador to Beijing. Jack McHugh is a moderate Republican, and his district, New York's 23rd, almost borders Canada. It's a very cheap media market out there, and a Democrat who is well-financed could win it, not unlike Democrat Scott Murphy winning the 20th district special election last month. My guess is that Democrats will make a strong effort for it, but there's several Republicans wanting. And here's an historical fact. New York would be down to two Republican House members if this seat goes Democratic in the election.
And out of over 30, I believe, that would be a very slim minority indeed. John, another piece of news that I know you're following and gathering more information on, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, the man that most people thought would be John McCain's running mate in the hours leading up to the Republican National Convention last year, will not seek a third term for governor. Is that a surprise?
No, it's not. For one thing, going for a third term in Minnesota is almost unprecedented for a governor ever since the state opted for four-year terms many, many years ago. It's been very, very frustrating. In fact, in modern times, only one governor has done it, and he had to do it non-consecutively. That was the late Democrat Rudy Perpich. In the case of Governor Pawlenty, there is talk that he would run full-time as a candidate for president, very much as Mitt Romney did when he left the governorship of Massachusetts in 06. On the other hand, one has to realize Mitt Romney had a name well-known in Republican circles, was a very high-profile governor, had tremendous personal wealth and nationwide financial contacts. Tim Pawlenty has none of the above. And I have to ask if his leaving the governorship would kind of diminish his appeal and his access to people who could support him for president. Prediction of the week. The Republican nominee to succeed him will be the apparently defeated Senator from Minnesota, Norm Coleman.
Who was the Republican nominee back in 1998 when Jesse Ventura won the job. Real quickly, John, last 60 seconds here. We haven't had time to talk about it in previous weeks, but what's the upcoming fate, in your opinion, of Roland Burris now that the audio tapes from the wiretap have been public and he did, in fact, try to raise money for Rod Blagojevich in exchange for the Senate seat?
Well, it certainly slows the momentum for a re-election bid, doesn't it? Roland Burris has not said he will run again. He insists there was no wrongdoing, no quid pro quo, and no perjury. But these tapes make it very, very difficult for him to argue that. The statement I just said he repeated throughout a tour to Illinois. Christopher Kennedy, Chicago businessman and son of the late Robert Kennedy, is gearing up for a challenge. I'm sure he'll face other Democratic opponents and at least one heavyweight Republican.
John, plenty to look forward to in 2010, but I know there's also going to be plenty to look forward to next week. Thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure keeping busy and keeping up with the news. I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.